Welcome to the Light of Sirio podcast. My name is Dori Fari and I will speak with a realized spiritual master about his views on life and the topic of spirituality.
हुजूर महाराज संजी यू माय सद्गुरु आई बाव डाउन टू यू हुजूर महाराज संजी यू माय सद्गुरु आई लव यू हुजूर महाराज संजी यू माय सद्गुरु आई अदोर यू
सो नाउ वी आर एट द 8th एपिसोड ऑफ सीजन 3 एंड दिस इज द लास्ट एपिसोड ऑफ दिस सीजन एंड नॉट जस्ट फॉर दिस बट फॉर अदर रीजंस This episode is going to be different than all the others before we had. And I tell you the reason. Because in order to understand well the story that is coming now, we need to have a brief history lesson. Since I brought for you the personal spiritual story of a lady who is from Budapest, from Hungary, and she has more than 30 years experience on the spiritual path. But why is it so interesting? Because, as you might know, most of you who listen to this podcast, especially those who are from Hungary or from East Europe, that at that part of Europe, those times, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, there was still communism, socialism. And in order to understand what does it mean, spirituality, to step on a spiritual path, to start, to set on a spiritual quest for a person who is coming from such a background, then you need to understand what it is, because I suppose many of you don't know it. And I must say I'm lucky enough, I also don't know it much. I was quite a young child still when this communism ended over there. Precisely, I was 9 years old and then 11 when the first free elections were organized. So I remember very well all these happenings. And what I would like to tell you about what happened there, what is communism? That communism wanted to eradicate everything that was spiritual, that had to do with faith, that was not strictly connected to their own ideology. And why? I mean, many people think that communists, they were just simply atheists. But I think it's just simplifying a very complex question, and I want to emphasize, I am not entering into any political discussions. It's just to describe what did it mean in practice for the everyday people. So, I mean, in order to maintain a communist ideology, there was no space for other things that could be individual, that could encourage people to believe in something else. If not that, only one supreme ideology, which was defined as supreme ideology. And any kind of faith, any kind of religion, any kind of spiritual path could have encouraged people to believe that there is something else more, something above than the official ideology, and it could have encouraged people to believe in something, to believe that they themselves can realize something for themselves, which is something elevated. And ideas of personal freedom and things like this. And what was very interesting, that in the beginning period we talk about communism, but then, how to say, there was like a disillusionment, let's put it just like this simply, and this communism transformed into socialism. And socialism, which had to do with society, socialism which somehow put the communist ideology into practice on the level of your society. And well, I could say that it was like a scientific materialist description of everything. But you know, this kind of scientific materialism, it sounds good, no? Everything is science, everything is described, everything is very clear, no mysteries here, and no individual ideas and initiatives of the kind. But funny enough, I mean, if you just look at it from the other point of view, no, people, they have basic needs, and society has basic needs, and as we nourish our body daily, as we nourish our mind, we need to nourish ourselves on the spiritual levels. But how they did cut it out from the circulation, this thing, that simply socialism did replace the religious institutions by themselves, not like the secretary of the party was like the highest rank of priest who was giving out the teachings, and then everybody had to believe in that. And then, I mean, okay, Christmas. I mean, Christmas, you can't say anymore that we don't celebrate Christmas, because then it was difficult. But then it was said, no, we don't celebrate Christmas. It's like a pine festival, the celebration of love or whatever. So there was a celebration and everybody put the Christmas tree and giving gifts and everything. And I mean, so everything was replaced. So just everything repeated the same way, with a painted with a different color, let's say like this. But that's also true, that any kind of religion and spirituality was, how to say, out of the mainstream, was not contemplated, was not advised, and was not liked. So you can imagine what happened, that after all this oppression and repression, the people who in fact they were spiritually speaking starving, they were banned from this basic human need to have faith in something, to believe in something, to have elevated purposes, to realize themselves, like self-realization and liberation and conscious awakening in a spiritual way. So people were missing it. And so this is where our present story begins, because I would like to share with you the story of Valeria. And the reason why I am telling it to you, because she doesn't speak English, and it would have been too complicated to make the voiceovers and stuff. So eventually I decided to tell you the story. So also I could do this brief historical introduction for you. So Valeria is, at the time she was a Budapest, and then she was working as a tape scriber at the court, and one of her colleagues told her that, look, that comes a teacher from India and gives a lecture. I'm going. Do you want to come with me? So she said, oh, okay, wow, it sounds interesting, from India. Can you imagine, like a magic land, a fairy tale? Wow, so a person from India now comes here. And then, so she went to listen to this lecture. It was organized at one of the universities in a big gym hall. There were some 200 people listening to this man with a turban, with a long beard. So it was very impressive. And for Valeria, this was the first time when she met real spirituality with a living master. And this master was Takar Singh from India. He's also who used to be a Sandmat master. So this was like opening a door for Valeria, and she got to know some people there, and then she tried to do this meditation, which was new, interesting, maybe a little bit even exotic. And then in these circumstances she met once a very nice lady, as she described, very impressive lady who had a deep impact on her, as they got to talk to each other. And this lady was the Hungarian group leader of Santa Jaip Singh. So Valeria was invited to visit the satsang there, and so she said when she went, and the first thing she saw, it was a portrait of Sanji, which had a very deep impact on her. And she said as soon as she looked at that picture, she felt like seeing God, that this person is God. And before, she didn't know much about these things and living masters or human pole or these things, but just she said that this came into her mind, like, oh wow, this person, he's like God, he's God. And then she came to know that this was a picture of Santa Jaip Singh. And then she had nice experiences during satsang, and then the time, of course, it was not so easy to just send an email to the master or whatever. Then she had to write a letter, which the group leader helped her to translate into English, send a picture about herself and ask for initiation. And then after some time, the answer came that, okay, she could be initiated, and then eventually she was initiated along with others by one of the representatives who came to give initiation in Budapest. And soon after this, there was organized a program in Szilágyi-Tilárd in 1994 in France. So the word came, oh wow, this far away Indian master comes so near to us, to France, to Europe. Oh wow, for Valeria it was like I don't know, like how it's said in English, like pulling the sugar candy in front of the nose, like wow. She felt a deep attraction, a deep urge to go to meet this master, because he's coming here to Europe. But it was not so easy, because Valeria at the time, she was a young mother, she has three children, and also her parents, I mean, as it was possible to go back to religions and stuff, then her parents went back to the church, and so they really didn't want to hear about such things like meditation and gurus and things like this. And also for them, I mean, if you have children, then your place is besides your children, you can't go anywhere. So Valeria knew that it was not going to be an easy thing. And since at the time there were no mobile phones, and most of the people, they didn't even have landlines, so she somehow managed to to explain to her husband how important it was for her, and somehow he agreed, okay, that she could go with these other people to France. He couldn't really understand, but he accepted it. And at the time, Valeria's smallest child, smallest daughter, was around 4 or 5 years old. And she knew that there was no way to tell it to her parents or ask help from them for this period, even if it was not a long period. So it was very adventurous. She told me that it took at least 1 month for her to organize this, her going cafe. That there was another lady attending satsangs with whom she was good friends. And so she agreed with her first. She took in secret a bag to her. An empty bag, and then by and by she began to take things from home, like a few clothes, this and that. By and by, making her luggage in the course of 1 month, so that it doesn't people don't notice in the family that somehow she packs her things in a suitcase and takes them away, because then it would have been too strange. And she didn't want to stress the others and to face these discussions. So she took the adventure to do like this. And then when the time came for the traveling, and you can imagine that before Valeria, she has never been abroad in her life. And she was, I don't know, in her late 30s. And then this was the first time for her to go abroad from Hungary. So it was very, very exciting. And then they went with a microbus and with a small group. And then they arrived to Szilágyi-Lárd, and there were 500 people. So you can imagine how it is from all the background which I described to you, with the adventures of by and by taking your clothes from home and get ready for the trip, and in secret going away, that they said some excuse to her parents what she had to do somewhere, and then she went to France to meet Sanji. Wow. And she said it was such a fantastic event for her that is indescribable, that the whole atmosphere, that 500 people there together singing the bhajans, that devotion, that elevated atmosphere, that sense of freedom, that was so fantastic that it was like one couldn't know if she said she felt like not being on the earth anymore. It was like being above the earth. It was like another dimension for her. And then waiting there with all these people, with this devotion and bhajan singing. And then when the master arrived and he was there, real, living, it was fantastic. Beyond any words that could describe it. So she said it has been a really wonderful and life-changing experience for her, that it provokes such a deep and sincere true love for the master in her heart, that she really felt connected and reconnected to God. And so she decided to never let this go, because it was just too beautiful. And at the time it was not so easy to go for an interview with Sanji, but the Hungarian group was very lucky, because as a group they could have a collective private interview with Sanji, and this was very, very beautiful for Valeria. She said it was like facing God himself, living. And of course, as everything ends at a point, and also this beautiful program was over, and they went back to Hungary. No matter how much preparations were made, and how much efforts and conspiracy together with her husband to hide this fact that she went to France, that her parents came to know it. So it was like a smaller disaster for her, like coming back from France, so happy, and she had a mala in her neck, and then it was very theatrical that her mom pulled off the mala from the neck, like tearing it off, and then, "You are not our daughter anymore," because it was too much for them. They couldn't understand what it was. And of course, they were also very worried and very afraid that what did she get into? And so it was a difficult period, but by and by they did smooth down, but they kept their position against this kind of spiritual attitude. But this didn't block Valeria to meet Sanji again, because in 1996, Sanji came to Italy. She was even 1 year than France. So then by the time the Hungarian Sangat grew quite some, so they were going by a big bus, like 40-50 people. So this was the part where they participated. It was a 3 days program in Terni. And Valeria described that this program was very, very different than in Silly-Tillard. If in France, in Silly-Tillard, the program was such like being above the earth, then it was amazing in Terni to meet Sanji, to look into his eyes. She said, I mean, she didn't speak English, she didn't understand anything. It was always the group leader who, in the breaks, she translated what was happening, what was said. But she said that, Valeria said that she didn't need any words. It was just enough, the presence. And how she saw Sanji so holy, so pure, as he was always dressed up in white clothes and always like perfect, no stain. But it's not just the clothes, but that's what he was radiating. That's what he was, stainless. And Valeria also described this feeling like the ocean of love, the ocean of grace, in continuation, even without understanding what he was saying. And she described, it was very amazing, the first satsang during this program, that everybody went to listen to the satsang of Sanji, of which, as I said, she didn't understand anything, but she said she witnessed something very important, that she went in together with everybody to listen to the satsang, and when they came out and put back their shoes, she felt like everything changed, and she herself was a changed person. And she said that she just noticed it, like a fact, facing a fact, that she was a changed person, like a person went in for satsang and another person came out. And when I asked what did she mean by this, she said that she became a person who was more strong, more determined, more stable, and more equipoised. So, and she said she just felt it. She noticed it, that she was changed in these things. And then during this program, as it was towards the end of the mission of Sanji, towards the end of his life, because it was in 96 and he left his body in 97, then already there were some whispers in the Sangat that the master is going to leave, the master is going to leave. And Valeria said this was very bad, and then people were worrying and began to discuss, oh, who might come after? But she said that no, she just decided to close these thoughts out and just focus on the living present and enjoy the living presence of the master and just be then and there in that moment with him. And this also was a very beautiful, the way she described to be in that beautiful and holy atmosphere. And also she described one thing, that no matter how much she didn't want to think about the possible future leaving of the master, that she noticed that Sanji was changed there that he grew older and he seemed tired. And Valeria described that in France he was still like a lion, radiating an incredible energy from himself. And in turn everything was beautiful, but like when the sun is setting and doesn't have the strength anymore. And she said that she had just like a sudden impression into her mind, like he doesn't have the power anymore, which she didn't mean by this that he doesn't have the power, he's not a master anymore. No, this is not what she meant, but she felt it like just now he has given it to somebody, and she knew, she felt that this person is here, the new master is here. And so then of course then this program was also over. And here during this training program there were no private interviews, and anyway people could just queue up and pass in front of Sanji and look into his eyes, get the darshan. And what was also very beautiful, which Valeria told to me, it was still about the Silitilar program in 94. She said that it was amazing when they were waiting for the interview with the group. She said that they were all trembling, but it was not like trembling of fear, but trembling like a fever, like something very elevated, something very indescribable again, to be in front of the master, face to face with him, and be in this situation of a private interview with him. This was such a high privilege. And then she could witness this difference, what I described before, meeting him again in Terni and getting his darshan from near. And then, as I said, the program in Terni was also over, and people went back to their countries, and also the Hungarian group went back to Hungary. And then satsangs continued. And then, unfortunately, one day the new news came that Sanji was no more in his body. So Valeria said that she felt like the world crumbled down for her, that like losing the scope, losing the horizon, because she said that she really felt in Terni how her life was changed by the path, how the axis of her life was changed, that this all, the spirituality, the master and spiritual realization, realizing truth, has become the purpose of her life, more important than anything else. So it was like the news of Sanji leaving was like somebody robbed the most precious treasure from her. So she was weeping a lot, and then she had to hold back her tears all the time, because then people kept asking, what's wrong with you, what's wrong with you? Oh no, a friend of mine died, and then, oh, I'm sorry, but just step over, it happens. Because she said people couldn't understand, she couldn't say that, because my master died and I'm desperate. But then eventually the Hungarian group leader encouraged her and said, no, is no use to cry, because Sanji is very happy now. So don't cry, because now Sanji is with Master Kipal and he's happy, and it's much better for him than as it was on the earth. So some by and by Valeria was also making peace with this idea, encouraging herself, because she said, I loved the master so much, and if the master was happy, then I had to be happy. So then eventually I was also happy as much as I could. And something came into my mind again from Terni, which Valeria said that they were sitting down, all of them, in the gym hall in a cross-legged position, waiting for Sanji to come. There was some delay in the program, so they had to keep waiting and waiting and waiting. So Valeria said, yes, okay, she still managed to sit on the ground, cross-legged, but it was not easy. And time passed and passed, and and her legs went numb. He lost all sensation in her legs. But the group leader said, no, please don't stretch your legs to the front, because in India it's very impolite from ladies and it's not to be done. So by any means, Valeria said she didn't want to be impolite, so she kept sitting and suffering. And at a point, a white car arrived, and so everybody turned there, but they didn't know if it was already the master who arrived or just the car came. And as there was some movement, Valeria said that all of a sudden she noticed that the numbness disappeared from her legs. So she said, oh, then I knew that the master arrived. Because it was just surprising for her also. She was almost suffering and struggling, sitting on the ground, cross-legged. And even before knowing that the master was there, this numbness disappeared. So she was sure about it. Well, I was asking questions after that from Valeria to say how she perceived Sanji, what was the real connection, what helped her the most on the spiritual path, listening to the teachings or the inner connection with the master. And Valeria said both of them, because there was the Simran, the meditation practice, which made a close inner connection to the master. But then there were also the teachings, because at the time, you know, there were not these modern tools which are now. And there was a lady in Hungarian Sangat who wrote down by hand all the satsangs. And then Valika, since she was a tip scriber, she was tip scribing all the satsangs. So she was going through and through again the teachings. And she said she really absorbed deep the teachings and the words of Sanji. And she said she even now she has these handwritten materials and all the tapes. And they had been doing great seva, great selfless work to share the teachings of the master with other people. And she also talked about the importance of sharing, that when we receive the grace and the blessing from the master, then we shouldn't just keep it for ourselves, because then somehow it gets spoiled within. But if we generously share it with others, we pass it on, then instead of diminishing, it keeps growing, it becomes more. That was her personal experience. Well, what else to say about this? I mean, she said so many things. It was a very long conversation, so I tried to take the least out of it. Well, that what was very interesting, how she described that it was incredible and unbelievable for her, for so many years, that she could experience something like this. That just, she's such a small somebody from Hungary, begin to travel, go to France, go to Italy and meet the living master. It was like she was really convinced for her that the master was God on earth. And even if people maybe laughed at it, that was her conviction, that the master is God on earth. And well, also her experience as she was in a close connection with the teachings, describing them, then by and by she understood how much it is important to apply the teachings in our life. Otherwise the path doesn't work, because it's like a liking of us, a preference. But if we don't apply the teachings, we just like it. It's nice, but then we don't practice, and the path really does work if we apply the teachings into our lives. So as a conclusion from all this conversation, what was also very beautiful, as Valeria described it to me, she said how she was sad and feeling lost after the master leaving, And she said also that she had a difficult period, and then she had lots of difficulties also in her work, then family because of children growing up, and then with the children, various problems always show up in one's life. So life has become very tough without the master, but still she described how dearly she loved Santa Jaip Singh, and therefore she was really, really careful that and attentive who could be the successor of this beautiful master. And it was very sweet as she described it. Well, I was never a traveler, but then I went to France, and then I also went to Italy, and then I was just hoping that the successor, the next master, won't be in India, because I was so afraid that I had to go to India. And well, it's another story. But after many years with Master Sirio, eventually Valeria made that step also. She went to India, and some years before she even went to the United States with Master Sirio. But this is another story. And going back to the late 90s, then as Valeria said that she was very, very attentive who might be the possible successor. But then eventually things turned in a way that in a spontaneous way everything pointed towards Master Sirio. So for her all the signs were evident that in him she found her master, and since then on she follows Master Sirio. And as I said, I mean, I could say she follows him even to the end of the world, even to the United States and to India. And well, that was the story of Valeria, which I hope you liked it and you found it interesting. It would have been very nice to have this conversation in life with her, but because of the language problem, it wasn't possible. But I can tell you about Valeria that she's one of the most devoted satsangis I've ever met. Really, she really loves the masters. And she always says about herself, "Oh, I'm just a simple woman. But her greatness maybe lays in this simplicity. And I think she got everything from life what she could have wished for in spiritual speaking. So I thank to Valeria this way to share her beautiful story with us, and thanks to our listeners to listen to this story, and also my small historical thesis. And as you know, next episode comes after 2 weeks, and if you have anything to ask, say, or whatever, then please contact me through siriopodcast@gmail.com. And with the next episode we reach, as I said in the beginning, to season 4, and so we can get back finally Master Sirio in the light of Sirio spiritual podcast. And the new season will be very interesting, but I don't tell you anything about it now because I keep it as a surprise, but I think everyone will love it. So I wish you the best, God bless you, and next episode after 2 weeks.
Hazur Maharaj Sanji, you're my Sadgurus, I bow down to you. Hazur Maharaj Ji. You're my Sadgurus, I love you. Hazur Maharaj Sanjeev, you're my Sadgurus, I adore you.